I wonder if you remember a time in your life that felt like daybreak after a long, long night. What did it feel like to you just before you realized that hope was alive? Did you have a sense that it was coming, that something in your life was getting ready to change, to come alive, to be born? The fourth Sunday of Advent, for me, is that moment. It is the Sunday when, each year, we hear the story of Mary's pregnancy. This is the Sunday when we know that certainly Christmas is really coming, that the Christ child is imminent, that the hope of Emmanuel is no longer a figment of our imaginations or a likelihood in a few weeks, but right here in the real embodied story of a young pregnant woman. I don't think that it's a coincidence that in the Northern Hemisphere, this story usually lands on or just after the longest night of the year. I know that many of us have felt like we have been sleepwalking through a longest night for weeks, if not months, if not years. This is a difficult season for many, and this year I think it is especially difficult for more of us than not. Family members are gravely ill and facing death. Work never seems to stop piling up. There's political trouble in the air, again, making us all tense and anxious, even if we are refusing to follow the story. And what makes it worse is the juggernaut of Christmas cheer bombarding us. These last few days before Christmas are marked by a sort of holiday cheer buzz that has worked itself up over the entire month of December in an almost shrill frequency, kind of like a tea kettle full of glitter. Even though the stores are proclaiming cheer and joy, all the sitcoms wrap up in 30 minutes with a happy message about Christmas generosity. Even though we are all surrounded all the time by expectations of love and joy and togetherness, in reality, for many of us, this season marks a time of being on the inside, looking out at a foreign place. And that is why we need the fourth Sunday of Advent, this announcement of Mary's pregnancy, this moment just before hope is born. It is the whisper just before the daybreak. When our troubles have been hunched over our chest, when they have weighed us down for longer than we can even remember, this is the moment where we start to realize that breathing is easier, that the weight may at some point be lifted, that freedom from this might eventually arrive. It is not the birth of hope, but it is the moment when we realize that the world around us is pregnant with it. The Gospel of Matthew chooses to focus on Joseph's side of the nativity story. His story is remarkably human, and I feel connected to him when I think what he must be going through in this moment. I try to imagine that Joseph must think of Mary, what he must feel about her, how he has come to know this young woman to whom he is betrothed. I imagine that he has a great deal of admiration for her, that he sees her as a young woman of courage and faith. She knows her scripture, and most of all, he has seen, she loves Hannah's song, which sings of God's devotion to the lowly and God's great care for the oppressed. She is a joyful young woman who cares for her family and travels on a whim. These two people live in dangerous political times. Herod the Great is getting sicker and more mad by the day, And there are rumblings of rebellions and messiahs who will lead insurrections against Rome. This is far away from their village and their everyday life, but the tension in the air is palpable. Mary, Joseph has noticed, does not succumb to the powerlessness and the fear and the anger that seems to control so many others around him. I like to imagine that Joseph is glad that he has finally found someone to be his partner who will be a voice of faith and love in these difficult times. But just as he is contemplating this, he receives word that Mary is already pregnant. He cares deeply for her, and he does not want to cause her shame, nor does he want to stain her reputation. But how could she have done this to him? Doesn't she care for him as he cares for her? Is she in love with someone else? Did she even agree to marry him, or did her parents lie to him? Worst of all, has someone else been hurting her? Wounded, Joseph decides that he cannot continue with this marriage, that he will quietly dismiss her, perhaps while she is still away at her cousin's home. Perhaps if she just stays there, no one will know what happened, and both of them can just move on with their lives. And just as he has resolved to do this, worked up the courage, made his decision, an angel of the Lord appears to him in a dream and says, "Do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife, for the child conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. He will be Emmanuel, God with us." I wonder what it felt like to wake up from that dream. I wonder if it felt like that whisper of hope from far away, preposterous, surprising, unbelievable, and yet a dream so vivid and so real that it was comparable to the breaking dawn. What I love about Joseph is that he acts on this dream, on his gut knowledge of the truth. He did not have to trust that angel. Certainly, so many of us have had dreams that felt real, but we did not choose to trust them. Dreams that left imprints of happier times or a freer soul. Dreams that faded into the twilight the longer we stayed awake. He could have put this aside as wishful thinking, merely the voice of a pained heart in denial. But he trusted that dream, because he discerned that being with Mary, carrying her child, staying in relationship, trusting in Emmanuel, that was the right thing to do. He trusted that something new was alive in the world and that it would be best to act on it. He trusted that the way it always had been done, the way it should have been done, was not the right way in this moment, because there was some radical, different hope that was alive in a way that it had not been before. This last thing that we need to hear before our preparations for the birth of the Christ child are complete is this promise of pregnancy. This promise that God with us is conceived somewhere in the world around us, despite how unprepared we are, how deeply we are lost to the dark night of the soul, or how shrill the secular Christmas tea kettle has become. We might not receive dreams that tell us what to do, but we can learn to listen for God, as Joseph did. Here at St. Matthew's this Advent, we are sharing together in the practice of the Be Still prayer. This practice can assist us in listening to the voice of God amidst the chaos and the pain and the troubles that we carry this season. I hope that it might be an anchor for all of us as we reach out for that glimmer of a new dawn, as we dwell on the faint hint of a hope to come. You can find the prayer in the back of your bulletin, and I invite you to join me in saying it together. Be still and know that I am God. Be still and know that I am. Be still and know. Be still. Be. Amen.